You're with SBS Radio.
Kasama natin ngayong umaga ang isa sa original na miyembro ng banda na Dispossessed. Kasama natin si Harry Bonifacio Bon.
Bon.
Yes. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Napakatangkad niya. Pwede siyang basketball player. You can be a basketball player. But he's here with us, hindi dahil siya ay player ng basketball, kundi because of your songs and syempre yung mga paniniwala niya. You're one of the original members of the band Dispossessed.
That's right.
When did you start it?
So we started it maybe 3 years ago now, like 3 to 4 years ago. I was, I think, around 19 and I'm 22 now. Yeah.
And your band members, can you name them?
So there's Soa Tafua, and there's Jacob Cummins, and there's Jared Smith as well.
So your composition of Filipino, Aboriginal, and...
And Soa is Ashanti Akan, which is from Ghana.
Ghana, yeah. Let's first talk about why did you choose your band's name as Dispossessed?
So I guess from the start, the cultural element was pretty strong. A big reason why the band was started is like a dissatisfaction with like how white like the majority of the punk scene was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also the fact that a lot of our political concerns were also to do with like, you know, white supremacy and racism and colonialism. And so it comes from Ursula Le Guin's The Dispossessed. And she's
it's
just a
book, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And she's just a really good sci-fi writer. And yeah, it's just stuck. It's, you know, it works really well. And
yeah, because for those who don't know what Dispossessed or Dispossession was, it happened during hundreds of years ago, between 1788 to the 1920s.
Yep.
Yes. And your songs mainly are written by yourself. And
I do most of the lyricism. I kind of throw it back to everyone else to see what they think. And Jacob is also in the process of writing some things in Gamilla Ray for a song that we're working on. But yeah, I do the lyricism and everyone else is like on the like instrumental side of things. Yeah.
I know as a founding member, it means that you know the history of the band and idea of forming the band. You're not an Aboriginal.
No.
But definitely you're half Filipino and half Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you get yourself very involved in the issues concerning Indigenous Australians?
I guess I first started going around deaths in custody, like around the issues of like Invasion Day. And at first it was just, you know, knowing that there was something gravely wrong. You know, I was a bit younger when I first started going and not as informed on the topic. But the more I went and the more I met people and the more I talked with people, especially with elders and especially with some activists who have been involved for like years, the more I learned and the more they painted like a more vivid picture for me of exactly what was going on. And I guess as time went on, I realized like it all kind of came down to that. It all, like, a lot of my politics have started to at least locally center around the issue of colonialism here.
Your politics is mainly based on your learnings and what you learn from people around you.
Yeah.
And basically what's happening in your surroundings. But your blood isn't really far from politics.
Yeah.
Because your family or your mom's side of the family is an ancestry of one of the known people of the Revolution of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Can we just mention Andres Bonifacio?
So we're distant relatives of Andres Bonifacio, who I really admire, especially because he kind of didn't mess around and didn't waste time and was, like, the way I see it, like a man of action.
Mm.
And yeah, it's something I'm really proud of. It's not something I was always like aware of or knew the depth of, but it's something I, you know, hold very close to me. Yeah.
And that politics, not only you are part of, but it runs in your blood.
Yeah.
Most of young people are not really into politics, but yourself, you're very open that you stand for this politics, you stand for this issue. And even your studies, because it's international studies that you finish from the University of
New South Wales.
Yeah. Is there any from your family that has influenced you? or your politics at all?
Definitely growing up, I spoke with my dad heaps about politics, and that definitely helped with debating skills. It definitely helped with like getting my thoughts together and just introducing me to like the basic ideas of like Marxism and other critical theories.
Mm.
Like, we don't always see eye to eye, but it's definitely been like a huge influence growing up. When I was younger, it's just like what I wanted to talk about as well, like with my friends, you know, like issues such as like the police, when like my friends were getting like too much attention from the police, or just whatever was happening around us. Like, I just felt the urge to like talk with people about it and get their thoughts.
Is it because you've seen those things happened?
I definitely think my, like, where I grew up has a huge part to do with it. Growing up in Bankstown, like, you're growing up in, like, I guess, multicultural parts of Sydney. And with that comes, like, a lot of issues. So you see, like, the issues of heavy policing. You see the issues of, like, disenfranchised youth. You see the cultural clash. Like, even though I was really young, like, the Cronulla riots, like, definitely stick in my mind as, like, a really defining moment for the city. So it was there. It was obvious. Like, it was hard not to talk about and not to think about.
Mm. These issues that you have mentioned, the over-policing, is not just happening in Western Sydney or in Sydney.
Mm.
It happens in other states of Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and through your songs, you're bringing this out, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. That's definitely, like, policing is definitely a huge topic, especially because for blackfellas, like, it's deadlier than any other community. You know, you're seeing so many young blackfellas get killed and there's never any justice. And so it's definitely a central issue. It's definitely something we're constantly angered about and necessitates our attention, I guess.
Having studied international studies and being aware of the politics and what's happening in your surroundings, what do you aim to further do as you continue your music with Dispossessed?
I guess one of our main priorities is building a mass movement around anti-colonialism. You know, we want to, of course, like, sit there and inform people about what's happening and get people's, like, support around, you know, fundraisers for groups like WAR and, like, GMA. But ultimately, we want people to continue the struggle when they walk out of the show as well and to feel compelled to go to rallies and feel compelled to listen to elders and feel compelled to challenge some of their, like, fundamental assumptions about what it means to live here and, like, attack the colonial idea of what it means to be Australian and recognise that if you're a settler, like many of us are, that the only rite of passage you have here is through the traditional custodians of the land. Like, you're not going to gain that from anyone else.
What can you say when people say that it's just an overstatement of the colonialization?
I guess it can be easy to say that when the issues aren't as starkly obvious. Like, even for myself, I won't pretend that I cop the full brunt of colonial Australia as hard as First Nations people do. But as soon as you start actually paying attention to these issues and you're seeing the fact that young kids are dying and you see the fact that in the Northern Territory that 100% of the youth detention population is Indigenous and you start paying attention to, like, the enormous gap in living standards between settler communities and First Nations communities, and you recognise that an apartheid structure is still very much persistent in Australia and there's no other way to draw it back than to, like, the colonial structure.
As you have mentioned, we are all just settlers and migrants here. As a young person yourself, how would you state the fact that we are just migrants, settlers, and there are first people in Australia before us, before all of us?
I guess it's just recognizing that, I guess if I'm going to touch on my own experience, like, I'm the first in my family to be born here, but this isn't my land. Like, my families came here looking for a better life, and which is, I guess, valid, especially, you know, my mum coming from the Philippines where life can be very brutal. But when we get here, like, we can't pretend that we don't have a responsibility. And that responsibility is recognizing that our so-called better life comes at the direct expense of First Nations people. And it's too much of a moral dilemma to participate in colonization for your own personal benefit, even if it means, you know, survival. Like, it's the fact that our struggles are interlinked. And a lot of, like, migrant families do come here and get a marginally better life by coming to, like, hard conditions, you know, relegated to some of the worst parts of Western Sydney or, you know, housing commission. But even that in itself is linked towards the fact that Australia is built to protect wealth for a very certain few and protect power for a very certain few.
What do you think we as migrants and settlers can do to better the lives of those first people in Australia?
I think it comes down to us sort of taking their direction and learning to follow their lead. And that necessitates us being willing to step out of the box and, yeah, put some of our assumptions aside, as well as, you know, be willing to build bridges. There's a lot of really, really cool stories out in, like, Broome, for example, where Filipino pearl divers came here, you know, decades, hundreds of years ago, and could find no acceptance in typical Australian society. So what they found their only acceptance in blackfella communities. And so I guess it's just recognizing that white Australia isn't going to serve our needs in the first place. Like, when they're never going to hand over any sort of liberation. They're never going to willingly dismantle the structures that make them beneficiaries. And so if we're coming here in the first place, it's our, I think, moral duty to be closer to the people whose land it actually is.
And it's very important to really recognize.
Yep.
Yeah. And through your music and through your band and the raising of issues that you're doing, what song of Dispossess basically addresses this?
Well, I guess we've got a newer one, which doesn't have a name yet, but it's just touching on sort of like sacrifice and touching on the fact that, I guess, in this struggle for, you know, sovereignty and like liberation for people, that some people are going to have to lose out materially. And like, if it's for the greater moral good, that we should be willing to do that. And I think it's also just talking as well about like being personally involved in the struggle. Like, if you're looking to get involved in that, you need to be willing to give up a little bit of comfort and put yourself sometimes in a position of danger or a position of vulnerability. And yeah, I guess that's what was running through my head when we wrote it.
How many songs have you released already?
So we released an album a couple years ago, but it's not amazing. And my lyricism is definitely like not as good there, in my own opinion. At the moment, we've got 5 or 6 songs ready to record for a new album. And we'll just be writing a few more as well, just to fill it up.
And when are you looking to release that?
Probably sometime in the next 3 or 4 months.
And how many songs will that be?
Probably just around 8. We'd like rather keep it shorter rather than drag it on.
Yeah. I know you have a Facebook page, mm-hmm. Dispossessed, but it has a disclaimer to the public.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what it's doing is just like, there's so much about being a performer and so much about making music, especially political music, that can make you sort of like an object. Like, yeah. It's just the nature of performing where people want to like watch you as almost as if they're separate from the situation. And like, some people can potentially just do that and give themselves a pat on the back for like being, you know, inverted commas, involved in politics. And I guess the disclaimer is just like us sort of staring back into the crowd and is saying, well, don't forget, we're active agents, we're people, like, and we're all involved in this together. Like, that's the punk ethos. Like, you know, we're all part of one community. So don't look to hang us up on the wall like a piece of art. Like, think about why you want us there.
Are we able to hear a song? Read a lyric?
I can read some lyrics, but we don't have anything that's like properly recorded at the moment. Yeah. So this is the song I was referring to before. And so, yeah.
No title yet, yeah?
Yeah, no title yet. But just in the set list, it's just like, oh, sad song. Because it's like, yeah. But the lyrics are, awakening from the deepest sleep. What we see is not a dream. From the concrete, from the street, a new world blossoming. This is a thread unbroken. This is a line that's constant. This is our offering. This is our sacrifice. Take every drop of blood, we offer up our lives. When you sleep, I hear them talking to me. Guiding us into the morning, a new dawn is burning.
For our listeners questioning you, reading your lyrics, what can you say about that?
I guess what I was like touching on is just drawing on your own ancestral struggle as well. Like, my girlfriend always says that when she sits there and really focuses, she can hear like her ancestors like talking to her and guiding her. And so it's about sitting there and listening. And it's about recognizing that like you don't just solely live in the present, but you're always connected to the past and you're always going to be connected to the future as well. And so that's like the thread unbroken. But what assimilation tries to do is it tries to sever that line, and it tries to say that that doesn't matter, but that's your story and that's the part of the story. Like, that's, you are a part of that ongoing story the same way that you are a part of your like ongoing building traditions. And it's just saying, listening to your own ancestry, listening to like the ancestors of this land, and humbling yourself and submitting to them guiding you and sort of hearing what needs to be done.
I know punk heavy metal songs, they say it's mostly noisy, raw, and it growl. But how can you impart your messages through heavy metal songs?
I guess it's like a very emotional genre. It's like quite fast, and it's like a lot of the time, like it's there and it's heavy because the topics we're talking about are heavy, and they're angry because we have a lot of anger about these things. But there's a lot of space in it as well to write, to address melancholy and to be like vulnerable on stage, and I guess like emo, like which is just like, you know, a subset of punk anyway. Like, it's just, for us, it was what we were all familiar with, and it's what we liked to play. And we also believed that it was an agent for change, and it should still be an agent for change. Mm. Like, to me, punk always sounded like the Western world kind of eating itself alive. Like, it was like ripping down. It was just ripping down these songs to like their bare bones, like simple chords. And like, yeah, we've built from that. But when you look at the radical history of punk and you look at the people who've come through, like, you really want to believe that it's possible to use that community to draw people in the cities together.
So you're saying it's not just the kind of music, but the history beyond it.
Yeah, definitely. It's not benign. It's not just a word. Like, when it first popped up, it was just this chaotic scream from like people in urban centers around the Western world saying that, like, this is like, I've had enough, like, I can't do this. And of course, from that, you're going to get people who are like a lot more articulate and have like bigger dreams as well. There was so much history, especially in the anarcho-punk scene, especially when you look at bands like Bad Brains, or when you look at even metal bands like such as Mystifier from Brazil, who used it as this point of cultural pride in an urban context, you know, taking the sort of machinery that they were living in and using that as their new instruments.
Yeah, you mentioned about Brazil. Also, in the Philippines, there are heavy metal bands there that still exist up to this day, 20 years on from the time that they started. And it's mainly focusing on the culture and issues that they believe should be raised to the public.
Yeah. Well, I like, from what I know in the Philippines, like, there's definitely a lot touching on like the culture that they're existing in. Like, if I think of a couple bands off the top of my head, De Fargo is like one metal band I really like from the Philippines, who are clearly really enticed to talk about the grip of institutional religion, like, in the Philippines, and like talking about that through like a spiritual lens, like talking about that in the language of, like, you know, gods and deities and, you know, demons and hell. Like, so I guess, yeah, like, I definitely draw a bit from like the Filipino scene as well. There's some bands over there that really impress me. There's a really cool new wave with bands like Beast Jesus, who are just pushing the threshold, pushing the culture forward.
Where do you want to bring Dispossess 3 to 5 or 10 years from now?
I'd hope we'd all be a lot more adept at songwriting. I'd like to think that we developed our skills to the point where we can really put the message up on a pedestal, like give it the sort of aesthetic that it deserves. Not that I don't think we're doing that now, I just, like, there's always room for improvement. Like, I know my lyricism could improve. So that'd be cool. I would love for us to just be going through more underground spaces and talking to more people and organizing more people. I would love for us to sort of push the idea of, like, sort of challenge the idea of what a band can do in terms of musical protest. Yeah, I would like for us to come up with new ideas in terms, like, not always having to play in your traditional venue or not always have to play like a traditional performance. Like, and I think that's the kind of stuff we're discussing now. It's just stuff we're still figuring out how we're going to flesh out.
Performance or gig in the coming months?
We might be up in Mianjin, like Brisbane, and the start of August. That's still being worked out. Other than that, it's kind of just, we're sitting down and writing a lot. We're going to be at Campbelltown Arts Centre during August, just sitting down, writing some music, taking our time.
Do you have a residency there?
Yeah, so they've given us space to write, and it's a long-term project, like, where we hope to eventually have a show there, but also get a lot of local kids involved. But it's just, it's the very, very first steps at the moment, but it's something we're pretty excited about.
So it's from June? It's already happening?
The first time we're going to be going there to just write is going to be in August.
So for those interested to meet the band, they can come there?
Yeah, especially if they're local. Like, we don't want to be going into that space without, like, engaging, you know, people in the area, especially because, like, Western Sydney has, like, a special place in all of our hearts, like, seeing as we're all from there. So, yeah, like, that would be cool, yeah.
They can meet you and maybe sing with you.
that was definitely something we floated. We definitely want to do stuff where I, like, step back and maybe bring a bass in and we all just kind of write and let, you know, other kids come in, like, give them tips on, like, how to write songs, like, give them tips on how to do, you know, vocals and that, yeah.
Mm. As you take Dispossess more songs, where do you want to bring the first people of Australia as you journey into your music?
I guess it's more where they like want to take us. I think it would be good, like from my own standpoint, just to speak more to like the Asian community and build that sense of consciousness that it's time for us to like follow the lead. There definitely has been like moves with that, with like foundings of a group like called Anti-Colonial Asian Alliance. But I guess like it's all part of the same struggle. It's all part of the same sort of, it's time to listen to like the wisdom of this land. It's time to listen to elders who know exactly what's going on here. And so I hope Dispossess and all activism outside of that can sort of work towards that ends in one way or another.
Mm. And music can be a bridge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think community is the strongest element of political music. Yeah, when you ask music to do something powerful like that, it can.
Thank you very much, Harry Bonifacio Bond.
Thank you.
Inyong komunidad, inyong usapan sa SBS Filipino.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.